Blog Talk Radio.
Oh,
Oh, Jesus, 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 you alone are holy, Lord. We worship you. We live to worship you. We live to praise you. We live to give you honor. Oh, Holy Spirit, we thank you this morning. Today is the Sabbath. We honor you, O God. We thank you, O God, for this great opportunity to come and bow down before you this morning. We ask your forgiveness. We ask your mercy. Lord, we ask your grace this morning, O God. We ask that you allow us to hear, allow us to see and experience your glory here. We ask, Father God, that you forgive us of all our sins, all our transgressions, all our iniquities. God, allow us to bow this morning in your presence. Oh, Father, we ask that you forgive us as we forgive those who trespass against us, O God. We ask, O God, that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen and amen. Father, we pray now for your anointing, for your blessing to fall upon this holy commune, that you bless this weed of the field that represents the body of your dear Son Jesus Christ that's been broken for us, and that you bless this weed of the field, this fruit of the vine, excuse me. You bless this fruit of the vine that represent the blood that was shed for us at Calvary. Oh, Father, we ask, Lord, that as we repent this morning, that you would hear our hearts' desire, our hearts' cry. Lord, that you do not hold our trespasses against us. Lord, we do not proclaim to be better than anyone. But, Father, we are striving, O God, to be more like you and less like ourselves. We ask, Father God, that you watch over Israel. You protect Israel, Jerusalem. the Prime Minister and all of his cabinet members. Lord, we ask, O God, that you touch Hamas and that you touch Egypt and Iran and Iraq, that you touch all of this, the enemies of the cross, O God. Lord, that you touch these people that all they want to do is murder people that are not like them. We ask, Father God, that you touch their hearts, because only you can change the heart of a man. Only you can give the man the right spirit, O God, to live with his brother, his sister, his neighbor, O God, without trying to kill his neighbor, harm his neighbor in any way. We pray, Father God, that you touch the United States of America. Lord, we pray for Congress that they would find a House Speaker that they can do the business of the United States, the work of the people. We pray, Father God, that we will get to a place, O God, that we will stop killing and hurting the babies. We will stop killing and dismembering each other. As Father, we will begin to live and let live. We pray, Father God, for your anointing this morning. As I lay hands on this wheat of the field that represents your body, we pray, God, that you would transform this from the natural to the supernatural. And as I lay hand on the fruit of the vine that represents your blood that's been shed for us, that you would transform these articles from the natural to the supernatural. That as I partake of these this morning, O God, I will partake healing to my body, even as your word is healing to my spirit, to our spirit each day as we go into your word. Now, in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, Paul says, "For I have received of the Lord that which I also deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's take the bread, break it, and eat it. Hallelujah. After the same manner, he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together, eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together under condemnation. And the rest I will set in order when I come." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of the word and to this holy communion. Let us all drink the precious blood of Jesus Christ together in remembrance. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank the Lord. We praise the Lord. Oh, because he is a mighty God. We thank him for the holy communion. We thank God because of he lived, we can live and face tomorrow. Hallelujah, Jesus. He is worthy. He alone is worthy. Hallelujah. See what the Lord has done. See what the Lord has done. Hallelujah, Jesus. Yeah. This here internet system, electronic church line, that we might bless the Lord this morning as he has blessed us the gift of life this morning. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let us go into the book of... Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this opportunity to come this morning and feast at your table. Father, we are asking that you look beyond our faults this morning and that you would see our needs. Lord, bless us to hear, bless us to see, and bless us to speak this morning. Use this vessel of clay, O God, to claim your goodness here in this earth realm. Father, I decrease that you might increase. O Father, I claim to be nothing but that you are all and all. Because you live, we live and have our being. We pray this morning, O God, that you would speak by your Spirit, O God. Have your way, Lord. There's so much going on all over the world, so much violence, so much killing and hurting and sickness in the earth, Lord God. So we are calling out to you this morning, Savior, Most High God, that you would hear us this morning. And that you would speak to us this morning. We are nothing without you, God. And we can do nothing without you. We ask you this morning to speak to us. Speak through us. For we are your servants in need of hearing from you this morning. As every morning. Oh God, the day is nothing without you. All life is nothing without you, O God. Jesus, we ask you to speak, Lord, for your servants. Hear it. Have your way in us. Speak through us, Jesus. Speak through us. Allow us to hear your word. Oh, mighty God, we ask you, God, to protect Brother Mark and his family over in Houston, oh God. They're going through so much, and they're so afraid. Lord, we ask you to watch over them. Keep them safe, oh God, that the enemy is after their lives. We ask you, Father God, to shield them from all hurt, harm, and danger, Lord. Father, as you bless us, we will bless the people. Bless us with hearing. Bless us with doing. Bless us financially, Lord, that we might be able to bless them financially. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray this morning. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come in and have your way. Here in the book of John, St. John, chapter 15, Jesus is speaking very clearly and directly to his apostles, to the ones that he trained, the ones that are following him, that are taking up the very mantle that he is going to leave behind for them. And he said to them in John chapter 15, verse 18, he said, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Jesus made a profound statement here. Very powerful statement. If the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, I have chosen you out of the world. For this reason, the world hates you. The world hates you. When you were drinking and you were smoking and you were doing all the things, and you were going to the nightclub with them and you were shacking up with different men, different women, they love you. You was part of what they were doing. You understand? They love you when you were drinking the corn liquor and apple juice and the Kool-Aid and all that stuff and smoking the marijuana with them. They love you. When you was cussing every other word out of your mouth with a word of cursing, blaspheming like the world, they love you. They say you was good. You was all this and that, and you were more than enough. They love you because you were doing the way, acting the way they were acting. But the moment that God chose you and called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, and he chose to put his spirit upon you and in you, they begin to hate you. Hate you with a passion. They couldn't stand you. They begin to talk about you, say things about you that were not true. And people begin to believe them because the way they spoke it about you, it sounded like it was true. Do you hear me this morning? Well, I got news for you. They hate you because you no longer belong to yourself. They no longer have control over you. But you belong to Jesus. He paid the price at Calvary. We were just partaking of his body and his blood in the Holy Communion. And you recognize that you don't belong to yourself anymore. You're no longer in control, but that Jesus is in control. And they know that too. They know that you're not in control. They know that Jesus is controlling you, because the things that you're doing, the way that you're living, the way you're responding, the way you're acting, the way you're treating people, they know that you have changed. You have been changed. The Bible says, remember the word that I said to you. Jesus is talking to the disciples. He said, remember the words that I said to you. A slave is no greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But they will do all things to you on account of my name. Hear what Jesus says. If they kept his word, they will keep yours. Hallelujah. They're not listening to you. They're not paying you any mind, because you are speaking the words that God himself has given to you. Hallelujah. How come you can proclaim to be the woman of God, the man of God, but you're still full of hatred? Well, it's because you're not keeping his word. Yes, you're reading his word. You're speaking his word. But you're not keeping his word. How do you know that, Apostle? Because when we keep the word, we live in the word. The word now have precedence over our life. The word leads us and guides us. It is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Our steps are ordered by the word when we keep the word. I'm ministering to a young man for a long time last night. And so much fear. And this young man is supposed to be a Christian. But so much fear. Because he believed that people are working witchcraft on him. He believed that people are set out to kill him, to take his life. And don't care what you tell him about the presence of God, the power of God, he's still afraid. Why? People want to take my life. But I'm not afraid. But who can do something to me when God is covering me? Who can do something to you when God is watching out for you? God is your keeper. Do you know that? He's your keeper. And if he's your keeper, nobody can hurt you. Nobody can do, they can talk stuff, but nobody can do anything to you because he's your keeper. He is the watchman of your soul. And once you understand that, you begin to walk with power. And with authority, we are talking about having the spiritual boldness to speak. Having the spiritual boldness to speak. We lose things because the things that we lost, we have not, they were not belongs to us. They were not belongs to us to keep. If it is yours to keep, nobody can take it from you. Hallelujah. If you have a dog, if you have a dog, let me say this to you. If you have a dog and you treat the dog right, the dog gonna draw close to you. Even a cat. I don't like cats. But I just don't like the smell. Let me say that. But if you have a dog, the dog gonna draw close to you. You treat the dog right. And don't care what goes on around you, that dog gonna draw close to you. We got a little dog here. Belongs to my granddaughter. But the dog believed that she's my dog. She sleeps upon the bed. She sleeps at the foot of the bed. We put a blanket on the bed, and she jumps upon the bed. She sleeps right at the foot. And sometimes she gets in the bed, and she will put her chin right on my calf so she can feel the warmth of my blood flowing through my veins. And she was stating, if I move my foot, she'll move and move and move and move, then she can put her neck right back there. And if I move, she looks up. She wants to know where I'm going, if I'm going to the bathroom or going to the kitchen. And if I go to the kitchen, she's going to jump off the bed because she knows if I eat something, whatever I eat, she wants to eat. She's not going to leave me because I show that dog that I love her. It's the same thing if you have a mate. If you don't show your mate that you love your mate, guess what happened? They're going out the window. They're going out the door. If every time your mate come home, you want to fuss with him, you want to fuss with her,
guess what? She or he going to get some present, going to get a partner that's not going to fuss for them, that's going to show them love. Love is not just giving them a bunch of roses or giving them money. Love is when you, it's also when you verbally treat them right, talk to them right. You can give them a whole bunch of money, roses, take them to the best restaurant, but if you talk to them and treat them like a dog, they don't want to be around you. Who want to be with somebody who talk down to them and treat them bad, laugh at them and all that kind of stuff? I don't want to be around nobody who laugh at me and talk down to me and talk to me like I don't have no sense. I don't want to be around anybody like that. So Jesus continued to preach this thing. Let me just go back in here. I'm reading three Bibles today, as always. The New Living Translation, the Logos Bible, and the King James Bible. Here in chapter 13 of John, Jesus says, verse 21 says, "But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me." See, they're going to mistreat you. They're going to persecute you. They're going to abuse you. They're going to abuse us. Let me put myself in there. Because they do not know the Father sent the Son and the Son sent us. Do you understand? He sent us. He has given us the spiritual authority to speak with boldness. Even in spite of how they talk about us, how they treat us, we are still speaking in boldness. We're still speaking with boldness. We are not giving up. We are not throwing in the towel. I went on to Brother Deacon Fraser's line last night. Well, the line said there was one person on the line, but I didn't hear nobody. So I jumped back off. Sit on there for a minute and jumped back off. You know, we have to do what God called us to do. It doesn't matter if 100 people come or if one person come or no person come. We still got to declare the war. We still got to declare war. This is war. We got to pray. I just got a message this morning from India. Pastor Guru sent me a message. Said we are fasting and praying in the church. And then he sent me about 7 or 8 pictures. I didn't count them. I just estimated about 7 or 8 pictures with all the people. I mean, a whole bunch of people in the church fasting and praying. Fasting and praying. Why? Because this is desperate times, and desperate times need that desperate actions. Look at all the people dying in Israel, in the Gaza. Now they say the Egyptians are coming over. No, we're going back. We're going back to the time with Moses and Herod, and all this stuff is going back. You see, the Bible says that the enemy is going to come after Israel from 4 different sides. No, they say the Egyptians are coming, they say the Iranians are coming, and they already got Hamas. So one more group is going to come to make 4 groups of people that's going to come in after Israel. And still the United States of America is sitting, laying dormant, not signing up and standing up for Israel. Israel is trying to get into the bunkers, into the tunnels to retrieve the men and women and the children of America that has been captured by Hamas. But America, it just got ships out in the water, planes on the ship. But they're not doing anything physically to help Israel. Sending money to Iraq and Iran to feed the terrorists. This is what Biden is doing. And we're with Israel, but you're feeding the terrorists money. You give them money so they can buy more arms to fight with Israel. Like we are blind. God is not blind. Listen to what he says. He said, "If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin." They have no covering. And he's saying this, talking this about the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the scribes and the priests. He's telling the disciples that they know that they're sinning, because he's exposing all the things of the law. Hallelujah, glory to God. It's just like you and I, we know about grace. On merited favor, we say, well, we under grace. We God, we under grace. We're not under the law. But when you go there and you sin and break those 10 commandments, which is more than 10, he gave Moses 10, but the book is, the whole book from Genesis to Revelation has commandments, commandments of what to do and commandments what not to do. But we go there and we start doing things that are not of God. We are sinning. We are sinning, and we don't have anything to cover us. You can say the blood, I'm covering the blood, but the blood does not cover you. The blood is not going to cover you when you're willfully sinning. Hallelujah. The blood covers the sin that you repent of. You come and repent, and he covers that sin. But now you're going out there sinning. I'm just going to do my own thing. I'm having fun. I'm having a good time. Blood don't cover that. You got to go back into repentance. Repentance and turn away from the sin. Hallelujah, glory to God. So here in verses 23 says, he that heareth me heareth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in the law. They hated me without a cause. Now, Jesus says that all the things that he is doing, he had to do. That the word will be fulfilled. The word has been spoken in the law. He says, if I hadn't done such miraculous signs among them that no one else could do, they would not be guilty. But as it is, they have seen everything I did, yet they still hate me and my Father. This fulfills what is written in the scriptures, which is the laws. They hated me without a cause. Verse 26 says, but I will send you the advocate. Hear this. We're talking about having a spiritual boldness to speak. Jesus says, but I will send you the advocate, which is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. He will come to you from the Father. I will testify about all and will testify all about me. Verse 27 and final, he said, and you must also testify about me because you have been with me from the beginning of my ministry. Tell the disciples, you must testify about me because you have been with me from the beginning. Who are we going to testify about? Who brought us out of the darkness that we were in? The sinful lifestyle that we were living. Who brought us out? Jesus brought us out. We've been with him. From the beginning of our ministry, from the beginning of the call, he has been with us. We have been with him. He said, the world hated him. The Jewish religious leaders were already plotting to arrest and kill Jesus. And we saw this in John chapter 11, verse 47, after he raised Lazarus from the dead. The disciples will remain part of the world, but they will be spiritually united with Jesus. In this way, they will no longer be part of the world's purposes, but God. See, when you are empowered by the Holy Spirit, spiritually empowered, you are in the world, but you are not of this world because you are of God. Remember what he said in 1 John 4 and 4? He said, little children, you are of God. For you have overcome them. For greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. See, you got the power. Because that he dwells on the inside of us, we are not of this world. We are of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. John 14 and 12. Listen what he says. John chapter 14 and 12. He says, surely, surely I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. If you believe in Christ Jesus, the work that he did will manifest in your ministry. Because if you believe in him, guess what you're going to do? You're going to do exactly what he requires you to do, which is what the Father requires him to do. Obey. The disciples become God's ambassadors and speakers of Jesus, speakers on Jesus' behalf through the work of the Holy Spirit, John 14 and 6. John 14 and 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Study the word. Because the Holy Spirit must bring this thing back to you. He must regurgitate this stuff in your spirit so you can speak it. John 14 and 26. Jesus said in John's gospel, people often misunderstand God's role in sending Jesus in the world. John chapter 7, verse 28 and 29. John chapter 8, verse 54 and 55. People who have not encountered Jesus or his message, which comes through his disciples and believers, cannot make a choice to accept or deny him. They cannot sin. They cannot sin against him because they do not know him. Hallelujah. See, when you get to know him, you sin against him. If you don't know him, you're just sinning. But when you get to know him and you sin, you're sinning against him. If they are unaware of their sin because they have not been confronted by people who know God's feelings against it, by his Son or by his Spirit, then they are not accountable for it. Jesus says, talks about healing me and my Father. Even though the Jewish leaders who killed Jesus claimed to be following God's will, they neglected to acknowledge Jesus as part of his will and thus showed their love for their own positions over God's work. John 12 and 43, Isaiah 53 and 10. The advocate is the Holy Spirit. He's the one who comes. And minister to us in the synagogue. Matthew chapter 4 and 23. The offering service to God, John 15 and 21, where he says, they will do all this to you because of me, for they have rejected the one who sent me. People will hurt you believing that they are helping God. Do you understand? Believing that they are helping God. Go to Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. Glory to God. Keep Brother Mark in prayer, okay? Keep him and his family in prayer. He and his wife and his children, keep them in prayer. They're facing a lot from the enemy. Acts chapter 6, verse 1. But as the believers rapidly multiplied, there were rumblings and discontent. The Greek-speaking believers complained about the Hebrew-speaking believers, saying that their widows were being discriminated against in the daily distribution of food. So the 12, the disciples or apostles, called a meeting of all the believers. They said, "We apostles should spend our time teaching the word of God, not running a food program, not running a food pantry. And so, brothers, select 7 men who are well respected and full of the spirit and wisdom, spiritually empowered, spiritually bold. We will give them this responsibility. Then we apostles can spend our time in prayer and teaching the word." Everyone liked this idea, and they chose the following: Stephen, a man full of spirit, full of faith and the Holy Spirit; Philip; Prochorus; Nicanor; Timon; Parmenas; and Nicholas of Antioch, an earlier convert to the Jewish faith. These 7 were presented to the apostles, who prayed for them as they laid their hands on them. So God's message continued to spread. The number of believers greatly increased in Jerusalem, and many of the Jewish priests were converted too. Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed amazing miracles and signs among the people. But one day, some men from the synagogue of Free Slave, as it was called, started to debate with him. There were Jews from Cyrene, Alexandria, Cilicia, and the province of Asia. None of them could stand against the wisdom and the spirit with which Stephen spoke. See, when you have the boldness, the spiritual boldness, nobody can come. They're going to come against you. Don't let me say nobody can come against you. They're going to come against you, but they can't stand against you because you are filled with spiritual authority. Hallelujah. When you have spiritual authority, the enemy's still going to come. You look at Job. Job was filled with power. Filled with power. He was a man of God. But the enemy still come. And he was able to destroy everything that Job had. All the materialistic things that Job had. You understand? Satan was able to destroy even his children. He was able to do a lot of stuff to Job. Even make him so sick that he almost gave up. But he wasn't giving up on God. He would give up on life, but not on God. His wife wanted him to curse God and die. Job called her a foolish woman. Because Job always put God first. A lot of times we are putting people first. Because they sound eloquent. He said, look, none of them could stand against the wisdom and the spirit with which Stephen spoke. He was speaking with boldness in the spirit. So they persuaded some men to lie about Stephen, saying, "We heard him blaspheme Moses and even God." They always going, people going to come against us, brother. Brother Fraser. There always going to be people that are going to come against us. They're going to come against us because we're preaching with power and we're preaching with authority. We're preaching the truth. So the Bible says that they came against Stephen. They persuaded men in the book of Acts chapter 6. We read it from verse 1 to verse 15. We just did John chapter 15, verse 18 to 27, talking about having the spiritual boldness to speak. You can't speak this thing without boldness, because folk going to come against you. See, if you have boldness, the boldness of the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, on the inside, you're going to stand, and you're going to know exactly what to say and what you are saying. You're not just going to rumble off to the top of your head. You're going to speak with authority. So the Bible says none of them could stand against the wisdom and the spirit with which Stephen spoke. So they persuaded some men to lie about Stephen, saying, we heard him blaspheme Moses and even God. See, how what a great lie. And you know when you say that the Jewish people are going to come against you. You know the folk going to come against you. If you come on and say that, man, I see Apostle, man, he blasphemed about God. He blasphemed about the pastor. He blasphemed about God. People are going to say, well, I thought he was a man of God. I thought he was a servant of God. And then they're going to find ways to get me out, kick me out. You understand? So they persuaded men to do this. And they roused the people, the elders and the teachers of religious law. So they arrested Stephen and brought him before the high council. This is the church government. They brought Stephen before the church government. The lying witness said, this man is always speaking against the holy temple and against the law of Moses. Now to see the shift from talking against God, but now they're talking about the temple, because the people were so in tune with the temple. That's why when Jesus said that destroy this temple and he would raise it up in the 3 days, they was all bent out of shape, because it took them over 40 some years to build a temple. And Jesus said he would tear it down and he would build it up in 3 days, but he wasn't talking about that brick building. He was talking about his life. His body. Hallelujah. So it said, we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy the temple and change the customs Moses handed down to us. At this point, everyone in the high council stared at Stephen, because his face became as bright as an angel. See, the power of God is upon him. The glory of God rests upon Stephen. He is the deacon. Dress rests upon him. Hallelujah. Stephen also evangelized. So he went everywhere preaching and teaching the gospel. Hallelujah. And he preached for power and he preached for authority. He had the boldness of the Spirit to preach and teach. He wasn't afraid. Hallelujah. Even when they begin to stone him to death. He said the same thing Jesus said on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they've done. He said, Father, don't charge this to them. Don't charge my death to them. That's power, man. Glory to God. Let's go over to Acts chapter 7. We're still talking about having spiritual boldness to speak. He said, then the high priest asked Stephen, are these accusations true? This was Stephen's reply. Brothers and fathers, listen to me. Our glorious God appeared to our ancestor Abraham in Mesopotamia before he settled in Haran. God told him, leave your native land and your relatives and come into the land that I will show you. So Abraham left the land of the Chaldeans and lived in Haran until his father died. Then God brought him here to the land where you now live. But God gave him no inheritance here, not even one square foot of land. God did promise, however, that eventually the whole land will belong to Abraham and his descendants, even though he had no children yet. God also told him that his descendants would live in a foreign land where they would be oppressed as slaves for 400 years. But I will punish the nations that enslaved them, God said. And in the end, they will come out and worship me here in this place. Stephen is laying this charge before them. God also gave Abraham the covenant of circumcision. And at that time, so when Abraham became the father of Isaac, he circumcised him on the eighth day. And the practice was continued when Isaac became the father of Jacob. And when Jacob became the father of the 12 patriarchs of the Israelite nation. The patriarchs were jealous of their brother Joseph, and they sold him to be a slave in Egypt. But God was with him and rescued him from all his troubles. I am talking about having the spiritual boldness to speak. Don't matter what folk are trying to do to you today or what they've done yesterday, God will rescue you. And God gave him favor before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. God also gave Joseph unusual wisdom so that Pharaoh appointed him governor over all of Egypt and put him in charge of the palace. Do you understand that you could be unlearned until you meet God, until you have a spiritual encounter with God's Spirit? When the Holy Ghost comes inside of you, he begins to teach you. I went to high school, little high school, not much. Then went to college. I have a master's degree in my field, in plumbing, heating, and air conditioning. I went and learned some Bible teaching at a school of theology. But the Holy Spirit is my teacher. I get more now in my old age from the Holy Spirit than I got when I was in school listening to a man talking about the Bible. Because the Holy Spirit has more revelatory knowledge than any man could ever attain. You hear what I'm telling you? The Bible says that God rescued him from all his troubles and gave him favor before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Hallelujah. God also gave Joseph unusual wisdom so that Pharaoh appointed him governor over all of Egypt and put him in charge of the palace. But if famine came upon Egypt and Canaan, there was great misery, and our ancestors ran out of food. Jacob heard that there was still grain in Egypt. Hallelujah. So he sent his sons, our ancestors, to buy some. The second time they went, Joseph revealed his identity to his brothers, and they were introduced to Pharaoh. Then Joseph sent for his father Jacob and all his relatives to come to Egypt, 75 persons in all. So Joseph went to Egypt. He died there. as did our ancestors. Their bodies were taken to Shechem and buried in the tomb Abraham had bought for a certain price from Hamor's son in Shechem. As the time drew near when God would fulfill his promise to Abraham, the number of our people in Egypt greatly increased. But then a new king came to the throne of Egypt who knew nothing about Joseph. The king exploited our people and oppressed them, forcing parents to abandon their newborn babies so they would die. At that time, Moses was born. A beautiful child in God's eyes, his parents cared for him at home for 3 months. When they had to abandon him, Pharaoh's daughter adopted him and raised him as her own son. Let me say this to you, that if God's hand is upon you, troubles will come. But even when trouble comes, God would already have prepared a way out of the trouble for you. But if you don't know that, you'll find yourself continue like going round, ring around roses. You play around the tulips, playing with trouble, afraid, even abandoning the peace that God gives to you, the joy that God gives you, because you allow now fear to come into your head, into your mind, into your spirit. And what happens when fear comes in? The spiritual power, the spiritual boldness that God has given to us depart from us. Because now we are so engulfed in fear that we can't see that God's hand is upon us to protect us. All of these people that we're talking about in this 6th and 7th chapter of Acts face difficulties, but God was with them. God was protecting them all the time. Joseph had to go into a pit. His brothers threw him in a pit. He went from the pit to the palace. And while in the palace, he was even moved from there, from Potiphar's house, into the dungeon, into the jail, because Potiphar's wife lied on Joseph because she wanted him to break his covenant with God and commit adultery with her. And he said that he couldn't sin against God and against his master. Understand, the devil's still going to come after you, after me, all that we are trying to do for God. Hallelujah. On the instruction of God, we are trying to do what we want. The devil going to use our best friend, our sister, our brother, to even try to destroy us. But we have to know that God's hand is upon us. His hand is upon us to protect us, to shield us, to defend us, to fight for us. This is what God does. Don't care how bad it looks. Thunder and lightning, earthquake, tornadoes, alligators come across the street, snake come across the street. You're going to understand God is defending you from all this stuff. Hallelujah. The Bible says that Moses might have kept him for 3 months. But after Pharaoh now that was searching for Jesus, because the word went over the airways that they're going to be a new king. And Pharaoh didn't want to give up his throne. Who is this new king going to come in Israel or Egypt? We got to find this new king. Find this baby and kill him before he raises up. And come and take all authority from the Egyptians. So, Moses now going to be the protector. He is going to be the one that God going to send into Egypt. But he has to be protected first. And guess who going to protect him? Pharaoh's daughter. The Bible said while he's in the Nile, they put him in the Nile. You know, I don't know about back then, but even now, Nile has the biggest alligators in the world. They have alligators grow 28 feet long, 21 feet long, 30 feet long. And they're big, man, giant alligators. They call them saltwater alligators, crocodiles. But Moses, when he was in there, there was a last part that they had secluded for Pharaoh's daughter to go down to the river. Because, you know, they didn't have no jacuzzi and stuff like we got. They'll go down to the river and go down there to the Nile River and bathe. And she had her servants and all that stuff with her. And they pampered her, washed her down, and covered her up in fine robe, and she come up the water. And then she saw this little ark. In this little ark, Moses' mother had put him in this little ark, covered with pitch and stuff, you know, so that it wouldn't get filled with water and drunk Moses. Pharaoh's daughter saw him, she picked him up, and she raised him as her own son. Moses was taught all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was powerful in both speech and action. One day while Moses was 40 years old, he decided to visit his relatives, people of Israel. He saw an Egyptian mistreating an Israelite. So Moses came to the man's defense and avenged him, killing the Egyptian. Moses assumed this fellow Israelite would realize that God had sent him to rescue him, but they didn't. The next day he visited them again and saw two men of Israel fighting. He tried to be a peacemaker. "Men," he said, "you are brothers. Why are you fighting each other?" But the man in the wrong pushed Moses aside. "Who make you a ruler and judge over us?" he asked. "Are you going to kill me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday?" You see, this no start, this rumor going over. You got to know when to use your spiritual boldness. Moses saw the Israelites as his brothers, but they didn't see him that way. Everybody in the church is not going to see you as a messenger of God. So if for one time you're trying to bring correction, they're going to question who you think you are. "You're not my father. You're not my mama." They will talk to you like that, even though you're giving them godly correction. Hallelujah. "You think that you're my ruler? Who are you? You're not my ruler. You're not my judge." So Moses got afraid. When he heard that, he fled the country and lived as a foreigner in the land of Midian. There his two sons were born 40 years later in the desert near Mount Sinai. An angel appeared to Moses in the flame of a burning bush. When Moses saw it, he was amazed at the sight. As he went to take a closer look, the voice of the Lord called out to him, "I am the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Moses shook with terror and did not dare to look. Then the Lord said to him, "Take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground." You got to know when you are in the presence of the Lord. Let nothing distract you and no one. Hallelujah. Let no one and nothing distract you. He said, "I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their groans, and I have come down to rescue them. Now go, for I am sending you back to Egypt." See, a lot of time we don't want to go back where God brought us from. We become very prolific, very proud. We are anointed, appointed, but we don't want to go back where God brought us from. We're now dressing up nice. We're getting a clean shower. We're brushing our teeth. We're going to the barber shop. We're going to the hair salon, getting stuff done. But we don't want to go back into that place where God brought us out from prostitution. God brought us out from homosexualism, lesbianism. God brought us out from the crack house, the whole house. God brought us out from stealing, from going back and forth to jail. All the stuff, all of whatever the vice, your vice was. God wants to take you back. That's the place he wants to take you back, for you to minister so that folk can know that there is a God in heaven and on earth. He wants you to go back and tell them that he, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, or Jacob, brought you out. Tell them your testimony. Let them see. They look and see how dressed, nicely dressed up you are. But you got to also tell them, you didn't always dress like this. I didn't always go to the barber shop. I didn't always go to the hair salon. I didn't always have to take a shower, brush my teeth. I was down in the dirt, in the filth, just like you are. How many times you went back and forth in prison? Tell them. How many times that you were at the crap? How many times you were at the whorehouse? Tell them. How many times you get drunk? Tell them. Why? Because the Bible says you overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. Okay. This is what the Bible says. Revelation chapter 12. Let's see if we quote it right. Sometimes I'm flowing the spirit and this stuff comes out. I don't like to quote the word of God wrong at all. I like to see it. But I just heard it. He says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Right? And they loved not their lives unto death. They overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they no longer love their life unto death. See, their life is not important anymore. We have a bonus, a spiritual bonus to preach and teach the gospel. If they kill us, they kill us. And we know that that's their desire, that's their objective, to kill us. That's their MO, their desire to kill us. That's their motives. They want to destroy us because they want to think they believe that if they stop us, they can stop the word of God. God's going to bring up another deliverer. He's going to bring up another preacher. They kill us, another preacher will come up. You got to know this. Don't be afraid to be absent from this body. You can't stay in this body forever. People want to live forever, but they don't want to die. In order to live forever, you got to die. Understand? You're not going to live forever in this body. People want to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. Nobody wants to die. Well, I'm going to heaven, but give them a, let some sickness come upon them. They're fired. They're scared. They're fighting. Let them get a report that they got a blockage in their artery. They tell the doc, but doc, is this going to kill me? Is this going to kill me? What, doc? You got to sign some papers because there's a possibility you can die on that table. 2 times I had to sign papers. 2 times I had check up on my heart. They couldn't do nothing because where the blockage was, they couldn't get to it. I had to live with the blockage and trust God and believe in God that God would dissolve the blockage, the plaque out of my artery. But I said, doc, let me just pray first. They look at me like I was crazy. I said, doc, let me pray first. Because if I die, I want to make sure that everything is clear. The atmosphere is clear. The spirit realm is clear. Nothing the devil can accuse God, accuse me for before God. I laid out. And I prayed. Went to sleep under the anesthesia and wake up that everything was okay. The Bible says God didn't take Moses back just where he brought him from. Moses left Egypt. He got to go back to Egypt. Hallelujah. You come out from the crack house, God's sending you back to them streets. God's sending you back to them streets to tell the people that he is God, what he did. Let's go over to another scripture. Let's go to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Glory to God. We'll come back in this I want to do part two of that message I did Thursday, but we'll come back to this on Monday if the Lord said the same. Because Monday is my birthday, but I'm not celebrating birthday. It is my birthday. I will be here releasing the word of God. Acts chapter 4, verse 4 and 5, he says, let's go to verse 1. While Peter and John were speaking to the people, they were confronted by the priest, the captain of the temple guard, and some of the Sadducees. Say, Peter and John, when you begin to preach, that's where you got to have the boldness. You have to have the Spirit of God in you. Some folk will come and listen to you, want to hear what you're saying. They get inquisitive of what you're really saying. They're not coming because they love the Lord. Some going to come because they love the Lord and they want to hear the word of God. Some going to come because they're just inquisitive. They're nosy. Just want to see what you're all about. Some going to come because they just want to criticize you. So here, Peter and John are preaching. They're before the council. So while Peter and John were speaking to the people, they were confronted by the priest, the captain of the temple guard, and some Sadducees. These are people that are supposed to know the law. These leaders were disturbed that Peter and John were teaching the people through Jesus there is a resurrection of the dead. Peter and John is telling the people that even if you die, you will live again. If you die knowing Christ as your Lord and Savior, that know him as your Lord and Savior, the one who went to Calvary and gave his life for your sins, you will live again. They arrested them. And since it was already evening, put them in jail until morning. But many of the people who heard their message believed it. So the number of believers now total about 5,000 men, not counting the women and children. The next day, the council of all the rulers and elders and teachers and of religious law met in Jerusalem. Now, these men is preaching with power and authority. They're preaching with spiritual boldness. So all of these religious people came against them. Why? Because they are preaching about Jesus and people are gravitating to the message. People are drawn to them because of the message. Not because of who they are, but because of the strong, anointed message of Jesus Christ. Remember, he said no one can come to him except he draw them. So people are coming because of the message. And these religious people were jealous. Now the people are not coming to hear them, but they're going to hear Peter and John and the apostles. Do you hear me? Glory to God. Annas, the next day the council of all the rulers and elders and teachers of religious law met in Jerusalem. Annas the high priest was there. Excuse me. Along with Caiaphas, John, Alexandria, and other relatives of the high priest. They brought in the two disciples and demanded, by what power or in whose name have you done this? In other words, he says, by what power or whose names are you preaching? They already know who they're preaching because the word is going out. When so many people are praying, so many people are following you, they got to know. The word is being spread. It's being spread abroad. Over 5,000 people, men, not counting the women and children. So you know you can say at least 8 to 10,000 people are following them. At least. If you said a woman, each woman had one child, you could say at least 8 to 10,000 people. Glory to God. So they want to know what name or what power, what authority. So the Bible says Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said to them, rulers and elders of our people, are we being questioned today because we have done a good deed for a crippled man? Do you want to know how he was healed? Oh, Lord. Let me clearly state all of you and to all the people of Israel that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, the man who you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. For Jesus is the one referred in the scripture, where it says, the stone that you builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. They are the builders. They were supposed to be the one to carry out the message, the Pentateuch, the 5 books of Moses, to spread the name of God, Jesus Christ. Because Jesus from the beginning, remember, he didn't just come on there in Matthew when Mary birthed him. He was from the beginning. Because the Bible said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So he was from the beginning. Hallelujah. He spoke to himself. The one, a third party, he spoke to himself when he said, let us make man in our own image. He was speaking to himself. Because he's God, he's omnipotent, he's omnipresent, he's omniscient. Glory to God. He said there is salvation in no one else. In other words, Peter is saying there's no deliverance, there's no restoration, there's no redemption in anyone else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. No, but at this time, these Sadducees, the scribes, and all of these folk, the council, were squirming in their seats. Because these apostles, men of God, are speaking with such authority, such boldness. Hallelujah. They are speaking with spiritual boldness because this power, this authority has to come from the inside. This is not a head power. This is not power that you get from a university or from a college. This is power from on high. Hallelujah. So they're speaking with this supernatural power, this supernatural authority. Hallelujah. From the inside. The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. In other words, they were unlearned. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. See, when you had an encounter with the Lord, you don't have to go to MIT. You don't have to go to Harvard College. You don't have to go to one of these big exuberant universities. He gives you everything that you need. All you have to do is spend time with him. I was blessed this morning when my pastors over in India sent me all the pictures and said, let me know, said, pray for us, we pray. They always call me up and send me a voice message to pray for them when they're going into convocation or if they're having a revival or anything. They're in fasting and praying. And all of these pictures they sent me, show me how the people just praying, you know, before the Lord, seeking the Lord. Why? Because we are in perilous times, believe it or not. Everybody's saying the same thing. There's some things that's going to happen in the United States that if we don't get ready, we're going to get caught on them. And this is what the apostles are saying. And let them know, Peter and John turned the praise from themselves to these builders. This was the one that was supposed to talk about the Lord. That's what he says about the healing of the man. and let them know that there were, that he was healed in Jesus' name. And he says, Jesus is the one referred to in the scriptures where it says the stone. He's the stone. Jesus is the stone. And they are the builders. They rejected him. Who you builders rejected? They were supposed to declare. They're supposed to know him. They're supposed to know. They said they know the five books of the law, the Pentateuch. But they didn't know the one who gave it. God gave the law to Moses. Moses penned it down on parchment and gave it to them. They didn't know. This is why there's so much fight still going on. They recognized that Peter and John were unlearned men. Ignorant and unlearned. But they also recognized that they've been with Jesus. See, when you've been, when you had an encounter with Jesus, your life changes. The way you speak, the way you do things, the way you respond to people, the way you respond to occurrences, it's different. It's different. And because you know the Lord, you sense and know the power that's inside of you. You know who you are, whose you are, what you can do and what you can't do. The people says, he says, but since they could see the man who had been healed standing right there among them, there was nothing the council could say. Hallelujah, glory to God. So they ordered Peter and John out of the council chamber and referred among themselves. Now they begin to have conference among themselves. They begin to talk among themselves because they could not refute what happened to the man. They couldn't refute that these men of God had authority. We're talking about having spiritual boldness to speak, having the spiritual boldness to speak. But now, see, can refute it because the Bible says, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, the Bible says that they recognized. They saw. They were ordinary men or unlearned, ignorant men, some Bible says, King James says. They didn't have no special training in the scripture. But they had special training by the one who wrote the scriptures. The one who is the scripture. Jesus is the scripture. He is the word. They have spiritual training by him. Oh, God. Oh, Lord Jesus, have mercy. So they ordered Peter and John out of the council chamber and referred among themselves. What should we do with these men? They asked each other. We can't deny that they have performed miraculous signs, and everybody in Jerusalem knows it. But to keep them from spreading the propaganda any further, that's what they call it, the message, we must warn them not to speak to anyone in Jesus' name again. So they called the apostles back in and commanded them never again to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. Some Bible says in that name. So they called him. But Peter and John replied, do you think God wants us to obey you rather than him? We cannot stop telling about everything we have seen and heard. The council then threatened them further, but they finally let them go because they didn't know how to punish them without starting a riot. For everyone who was praising God for the miraculous sign, the healing of a man who had been lame for more than 40 years. As soon as they were freed, Peter and John returned to the other believers and told them what the leading priests and elders had said. When they heard the report, Jesus have mercy, when they heard the report of the believers All the believers lifted up their voices together in prayer to God. O sovereign Lord, creator of heaven and earth, the sea, and everything in them, spoke long ago by the Holy Spirit through our ancestors, David, and your servant, saying, why were the nations so angry? Why did they waste their time with futile plans? The king of the earth prepared for battle. The rulers gathered together against the Lord and against his Messiah. In fact, this has happened here in this very city. For Herod Antipas, Pontius Pilate, the governor, the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were all united against Jesus, your holy servant, whom you anointed. But everything they did was determined beforehand according to your will. And now, O Lord, hear their threats and give us, your servant, great boldness to preach your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through thy name, the name of your holy servant Jesus. After this prayer, the meeting place shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Then they preached the word of God with boldness. See, you need the Spirit of God. This spiritual boldness to speak is what we need. We need the Spirit of God dwelling on the inside of us, not on our head, inside our heart, in our soul, so that we know how to preach, how to teach, how to live, how to treat others. Hallelujah. We're not preaching or teaching just to be heard. We're not preaching or teaching just to be seen. We're preaching so that people would come to know Jesus, that the anointing would draw people to him, because we need the power to do the drawing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus said that many others shall believe on him through their words. So what words are we speaking? Are we speaking our word or his word? Because see, when we speak his word, it becomes our word. But we want to go back into some novelty, some novel that we have read, and we want to put up some stuff to interject into the sermon to sound like we are so learned or we're so educated or so prolific. And then we want to put it in the sermon so that the preacher can really preach. Man, he's bringing in a lot of Greek, a lot of Hebrew, a lot of Latin, all this stuff. And man, he knows how all that stuff. But there's no power. Nobody's being drawn to Christ. Nobody's receiving salvation. Nobody's being healed. Nobody's being delivered. You got one preacher over in Florida. Now he's calling himself Jesus. People selling their cars and their home and everything and giving to him. He walking around with a big chain around his neck and a big Rolex watch on his hand. Gold Rolex watch. Living in the best way. Proclaiming he is Jesus. But you know, in the last days, people are going to be deceived. You know, in the last days, these times that we're living, many people will be deceived. And they can go after other gods, things that claim they're God, but they're not Jesus. Because Jesus tells us so, that people are going to come and they're going to claim that they are the Christ. He said, don't follow them. They're going to point to places in different cities, different countries, different continents, that they're going to say, Jesus is there. Don't go. Don't you go. Hear what I'm telling you. Here, the apostles began to preach with power and authority, because they were filled with the Holy Spirit. The believers began to testify, glorify, admonish the works that God was doing through them. The Bible says the apostles testified powerfully to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's great blessing was upon them all. There were no needy people among them, because those who own land or houses would sell them and bring the money to the apostles to give to those in need. For instance, there was Joseph, the one the apostles nicknamed Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. He was from the tribe of Levi and came from the island of Cyprus. He sold a field he owned and brought the money to the apostles. No. We want to go and touch a little bit on this. Just a little bit on this. And there was a certain man named Ananias who, with his wife Sapphira, sold some property. He brought part of the money to the apostles, claiming it was the full amount. With his wife's consent, he kept the rest. Then Peter said, Ananias, why have you let Satan fill your heart? You see, when you are filled with the Holy Ghost, when you are filled with the spiritual power or boldness that I'm talking about today, he will reveal to you what everybody around you are doing, especially when they're not doing things of God. He'll reveal to you. You don't need to have eyes or ears to hear. He'll reveal to you a spirit man. Hallelujah. Ananias, about this time, is looking dumbfounded. He lied to the Holy Spirit, who kept some. You kept some of the money for yourself. Peter told him straight up, you lied. You lied to the Holy Spirit, and you kept some of the money for yourself. The property was yours to sell or not to sell, as you wish. And after selling it, the money was also yours to give away. How could you do a thing like this? You weren't lying to us, but to God. As soon as Ananias heard these words, he fell to the floor and died. We can surmise that he instantly had a heart attack, because this fear came over him. Fear came over him when he recognized that he wasn't really fooling the apostles. Now was he fooling God, because no one can fool God. He knows all. The Bible says he knows the end from the beginning. So here he fell on the ground and died. He died right there. Hallelujah, glory to God. Everyone who heard about it was terrified. Some young men come up. Some men got up, wrapped him in a sheet, and took him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what has happened. Peter asked her, was this price you and your husband received for your land? Yes. Peter asked her this simple question. And I ponder as I look at this, I'm pondering in my spirit, man, why was Ananias at the church? Why was Ananias at the synagogue? Why was Ananias at the temple without his wife by his side? He's got a large amount of money with him. Why is they not together? Hallelujah. And Peter looked at her 3 hours later. She came. And Peter asked her, was this the price you and your husband received for your land? And she had the audacity to say to Peter, yes. She replied, that was the price. Then Peter said, how could the two of you even think of conspiring to test the spirit of the Lord like this? The young men who carried your husband are just outside the door, and they will carry you out too. Instantly, she fell to the floor and died. When the young men came in and saw that she was dead, they carry her out and bury her beside her husband. Great fear gripped the entire church and everyone else who heard what had happened. I want to tell you that God began to move on the apostles because they weren't preaching about their stuff. They were only preaching about Jesus. They were preaching about his mighty acts, his death, burial, and his resurrection. That there was such salvation given by any other one else but Jesus. That he was the only one who could deliver you from the pit of hell. He is the only one that can grant you eternity. He is the only one that can grant you eternal life if you accept him. Peter and John was preaching this thing so hard that people were constantly coming, searching for them to hear the message, the good news. The apostles were performing many miraculous signs and wonders among the people. And all the believers were meeting regularly at the temple in the area known as Solomon Colonnade or the Solomon Porch. But no one else dared to join them, even though all the people had high regards for them. Yet more and more people believed and were brought to the Lord, crowds of both men and women. As a result, the apostles' work, sick people were brought out into the streets on beds and on mats so that Peter's shadow might fall across some of them as he went by. Crowds came from the village around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those possessed by evil spirits, and they were healed. The high priest and his officials, who were Sadducees, were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail. This is the second time. No, but an angel of the Lord came at night, opened the gates of the jail, and brought them out. Then he told Peter, go to the temple and give the people this message of life. So at daybreak, the apostles entered the temple as they were told and immediately began teaching. When the high priest and the officials arrived, they convened the high priest council, the full assembly of the elders of Israel. Then they sent for the apostles to be brought from the jail for trial. But when the temple guard went to the jail, the men were gone. So they returned to the council and reported the jail was securely locked with guards standing outside. But when we opened the gates, no one were there. When the captain of the temple heard the leading priest heard this, they were perplexed, wondering where it would all end. Then someone arrived with startling news. The men you put in jail are standing in the temple, teaching the people. Then the captain went with the temple guards and arrested the apostles, but without violence, for they were afraid the people would stone them. Then they brought the apostles before the high council. These are the people in the synagogue. They brought them there. Where the high priest confronted them, we gave you strict orders never again to teach in this man's name, he said. Instead, you have filled all Jerusalem, my God. You have filled all Jerusalem, not just certain places, certain areas, but you have filled all Jerusalem with your teaching about him. No, they can't call his name at all. And you want to make us responsible for your death. But Peter and the apostle replied, We must obey God rather than any human authority. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead after you killed him by hanging him on a cross. Then God put him in the place of honor at his right hand as Prince of and Savior. He did this so the people of Israel would repent of their sins and be forgiven. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, who is given by God to those who obey him. He, the Holy Spirit, will make you a witness by your obedience. He will make you a witness for Jesus Christ. When they heard this, the high council was furious and decided to kill them. But one member, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, who was an expert in religious law and respected by all the people, stood up and ordered that the man be sent outside the council chamber for a while. So he wanted to now talk to the council members. Gamaliel. He was a well-learned man, a devout man in Israel. People respected him. Then he said to his colleagues, "Men of Israel, take care what you are planning to do to these men. Some time ago, there was that fellow, Titus, who pretended to be someone great. About 400 others joined him, but he was killed, and all his followers went their various ways. The whole movement came to nothing. After him, of census, then they were taking the number of people that was in the city. There was Judas of Galilee. He got people to follow him. But he was killed too, and all his followers were scattered. So my advice is, leave these men alone. Let them go. If they are planning and doing these things merely on their own, it will soon be overthrown. But if it all is from God, you will not be able to overthrow it. You may even find yourself fighting against God." The others accepted his advice. They called the apostles and had them flogged. Then they ordered them never again to speak in the name of Jesus. And they let them go. And the apostles left the high council rejoicing that God had counted them worthy to suffer disgrace for the name of Jesus. And every day in the temple, from house to house, every day in the temple and from house to house, they continue to teach and preach this message: Jesus is the Messiah. The Lord bless us and the Lord keep us. The Lord make his face shine upon us. The Lord give us. Monday we come back here if the Lord say the same. We'll go into Acts chapter 2 and 4, 5. And we hit 7 chapter. We'll run through some books. We'll do a part 2 of this message. Then we've got to do a part 2 of the other message, but we're going to do a part 2 of this. We want to keep this on. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. Thank you for your omnipotent presence. Thank you for allowing us to even come to your table and partake of the Holy Communion today. Lord, it was such a blessing just to feast on your body and drink your blood this day. We thank you, O God, for what you have done this afternoon in the presence of your people. Lord, we pray for healing of our land, healing of our nation, healing of the people, O God. We pray for deliverance, restoration. God, we pray that you touch everyone under the sound of my voice, especially the ones that are called to stand before your people. Touch them that they might have a great thirst, a great hunger for righteousness, that you may fill us all afresh, O God. Because this morning, food was good. Yesterday, food was great. This morning, food was even greater. But Lord, we need greater food for tomorrow morning. Lord, as the people assemble in your presence, in your house, we want to have the food to give them that they may eat and drink and be satisfied. We pray, Father God, for Israel. We pray for Hamas. Lord, we pray for Jerusalem. We pray for Egypt, Syria. Lord, we are praying for Damascus. Lord, they are in all of these areas that we read in the Bible, the terrorists and the Israelis, they're crossing all of these borders. Now today, Lord, we ask in God that you reach out from your throne in glory, because we know that you're watching, you're seeing everything. Because we know that nothing happens on earth that heaven does not know. We know that you're concerned about all things that happen in this earth, friend. We ask, God, that you bring all the different nations together, all the armies, bring them to a place of submission. Lord, that they recognize that you created this world. You made this world for all mankind to live and to enjoy. No man owned anything. Because all that we say that we own in this earth, friend, we have to leave. We can't take not one house, not one car, not one piece of jewelry, not one piece of clothes we can't take with us. Even the ones that they bury us in will be eaten by the moths, by the bugs. We ask, God, that you bring us to a greater understanding of the love that you have placed in each and every one of us, that we begin to love on each other and not hate each other. Father, we pray for everyone that lost a loved one, and even for those that will lose a loved one, we pray, God, that you give them the strength to bear the loss. Father, you watched your son on the cross as he was in agony, pain, suffering on the cross for our sins. And you allow him to stay there on the cross because you loved us so much. And he was so obedient even unto death. We ask, O God, that you touch the hearts and minds of all of these leaders that are leading these countries that are setting up. There's three nations now coming against Israel. There's still one more has to come, according to the word. But you said four will come against Israel. But they will not defeat Israel. We ask, O God, that you bring them to a place. Bring them all to a place that they just submit to peace. And let them all live. The land is big enough that all of them can live together. No one man is going to rule this whole earth. Only God. We ask, God, that you do this. And as you do it, Lord, we give you praise. We give you glory, Lord. Babies are dying. Cats and dogs are dying. People are dying. Lord, only you can stop the bloodshed. Only you, Lord, has the power to break this stronghold of Satan, because that's what it is. Only you have the power to break this stronghold of Satan on the people, on the hearts, on the men and women that are out there in the battlefield, the high-power machine guns and missile and equipment. Only you can stop this rage that's in their hearts and bring peace in the nations. Father, we'll be so careful to give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Now the line is open for anyone that wants to respond. You can, if you choose to. We love you. We appreciate your coming on the line and spending time with us as the Lord speak to us through his word. The line is open. Well, Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. Thank you for the word. Thank you for the boldness. And we pray, O God, as we leave this line, but never your presence, O God, that you bless us, O God. Give us the words that we need to preach and teach, O God. And, Lord, we pray that you order our steps in your word. Let your word be a lamp, lighting a lamp unto our feet, O God. God, we ask that you power us to go forth with authority. On this Sabbath day, Lord, we bless your name. We praise your name. Oh, Father, bless us in the city. Let the money come, oh God, so we can bless some people. Let the money come, Lord. We need the money to bless. We need the money to, oh God, touch people with, Lord God. We can do so much for our people and for ourselves, for our families. In the mighty name of Jesus, God, we bless you. Lord, we bless you. Lord, we bless you. We bless you, Jesus. Now, Father, now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit continue to be with us now and forevermore. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives as we dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Remember to tell someone that God loved them, you love them, and Jesus is the only way. It may be the word that you speak today in somebody's ear gate that will make all the difference in their lives. You stop them from committing suicide. Stop them from committing murder, from kidnapping a child, raping a child, sodomizing a child, or even breaking into someone's home and committing some heinous crime. Jesus said in his word, Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, he said, let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. All he's saying to us, to allow the goodness and the mercy and the grace, the love of God be seen in our life, the way we live, the way we treat people, the way we respond to people. Hallelujah, glory to God. Show people the love of God. Let people see the love of God in you. Don't be so full of hatred or full of coming against people about everything, you know, but let them see the love of God inside of you. You know, we preach and we teach real hard because, you know, the world is not easy. And we have to preach this thing hard, the same way God gave it to us. Hallelujah. So that people see and know that this is the real world. You look and see what's going on in Egypt and Hamas, the Hamas and in Gaza with Hamas and the terrorists and the Israelites and all this stuff that's going on. This is real. People are dying. Children are dying. Dogs are dying. Cats are dying. Everything is dying, you know, because of evil minds. May we pray that God strengthen us. God keep us. I'm going to calm down, come down here for a little bit, let my spirit man come down, and then I'm going to get me a shower and go see and check on this stuff here that I got to send for, order to send for my sister and see how much money it costs me. And then I can go ahead and order it because I don't want to buy it. If not, I'll buy it when, just before I go away because I'm going back to the Caribbean. I'm going back and spend 4 weeks down there. But we thank God for you all. We praise God for you all. Thank God for our brother Deacon Fraser, who is faithful. We pray that we can get on the line with him sometime. I go on there, he's there, but he's not seeing anything. Pray for him. Pray for his boldness. Like we talk about, pray that he'll have the boldness to go on in prayer. And pray till somebody come on. I pray till God release him to just hang up the line. Keep him in prayer. And if you get a chance, go on and fellowship with him. He comes on every Friday night and Saturday night. The number is 712-432-3900. 712-432-3900. And the access code is 308587 pound. 308587 pound. And that's about 8:30, 8:15, 8:30, he'll come on. But you can check on him. God bless you all. Have a blessed night, a safe night. And stay safe, man. And you know, I tell you this, you're out there. I'm a Christian. I'm born again. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm fire baptized. I speak in tongues. I love Jesus. And I love God's people. I'm not telling you that I'm perfect, but I'm being perfected. Just like you're not perfect, but you're being perfected. God's perfecting us. Stay vigilant, pay attention to your surroundings, because the Muslims out there, the radical Muslims, they don't like us, and they don't like the Jews. You might lose your life because you're the wrong place. See, that man got stabbed in France, stabbing his chest several times, and he's fighting for his life right now because he didn't even do nothing to that Muslim guy, but the radical Muslim just went up there and stabbed him, you understand? And he's fighting for his life. So what I'm saying to you, pay attention to your surroundings. Pay attention to your surrounding, okay? Please don't let it be your life. Don't let it be your life that's taken. Pay attention to what's going on around you so that you might live to live again. God bless you all. I love you, but God love you even the more. Share the love of Christ. Tell somebody about Jesus, okay? Tell somebody about the Jesus love. Tell them what he's done for you so that they might want to be saved, okay? God bless you all. And be safe. Bye-bye.